Good morning. Our Hebrew Bible lesson is from Isaiah. It's found on page 597 in the Pew Bible, and it's found on page 778 in the large print Bible. Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings, with two that covered their faces, and two that covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold stood at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I have lived among people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep listening." Oops, I've gone beyond, but you're going to keep listening anyhow. "Keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now if you please turn your hymnal to the responsive Psalms reading, Psalms 29 on page 761. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful, and the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The Lord makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and sirloin like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes with flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry glory. The Lord sets enthroned over the flood, and the Lord sets enthroned as a ruler forever. May the Lord give strength to his people, and may the Lord bless his people with peace. The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Thank you.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. You can find it on page 147 in the New Testament Pew Bible or on page 191 in the larger print edition. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, "Abba, Father," it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let me ask you now that we all have the opportunity to rise up on our feet for the reading of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. If you would rise, let us turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. It is in the Pew Bible New Testament on page 61, or in the large print edition on 114. The choir has so beautifully introduced us to the punchline of this reading. So let us read the context as well. Hear these words. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born from above? How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can anyone enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. My friends, on this Trinity Sunday, as perhaps on every Sunday, you might well feel like Nicodemus when, as Scripture tells us, Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can these things be?" That feeling of confusion and mystery and awe and bewilderment makes a lot of sense when you try to begin to understand the nature of God. That's in fact what Trinity Sunday is really all about, that we might wrestle together with the unfathomable understanding of the nature of God. I could preach for 5 or 6 hours, and we probably wouldn't be much closer to understanding God's nature than we are right now. Theologians and philosophers and saints and sinners have been working on this for literally thousands of years, and the best that we've come up with is a pitiful handle for our minds, the concept of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As you probably well know, the Bible never mentions Trinity by name. It mentions the players, but not the oneness. In a few minutes, we will pray together the Nicene Creed, and you will see and speak the product of these centuries of struggling to make sense of the true nature of God. And yes, it's a whole lot of words, and it may or may not help you get a little closer to understanding something that probably cannot be understood by the best of human minds. That's probably why we use ideas like omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent when describing God, all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere at once. Theologians are quick to warn us against circumscribing God, that is, literally trying to draw a circle around God, attempting to use our inadequate, puny human minds to even begin to understand something, someone, who cannot ever be fully understood. There is another circle that might, however, provide a bit of insight. I want you to take a look at the image on the cover of your bulletin. You may recognize it. I used the same image last year because it's one of my favorite graphic illustrations of the Trinity. You may well know that this is actually called a Trinity knot. And if you take your finger and put it on one point of the knot and follow it around to the second and finally to the third, you'll see that it is, in fact, one figure: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And intertwined within this three-in-one figure is a circle, which represents the divine love of relationship or covenant. See, Carson knows about it. He's talking about it up front. One God in three persons connected by love for all. Reverend Taylor Burton Edwards of the Discipleship Ministries of the United Methodist Church has an interesting take on this. Let me quote him. "The heartbeat of Christian theology, our understanding of the nature of God, is that God is God in relationship. There is relationship with the being of God toward humankind and with and beyond all creation." Christian theologians have captured this idea of relationship within God in the Greek term perichoresis. In Greek, perichoresis means literally dancing around. Perichoresis originally referred most specifically to the circle dance performed during the chorus of a Greek play. As Christians used this term to describe the nature of the Trinity, they did so also to speak of the ways in which the Father offers himself to the Son with the Spirit. The Son offers himself to the Father with the Spirit, and the Spirit flows between Father and Son and the whole of creation, bidding us to join the dance of God, the dance of love. This dance of God, this dance of love, is illustrated by the circle intertwining the Trinity knot. This circle is perichoresis. Think back what you heard this morning. Each of today's lectionary readings shows us a small perspective on the nature of God, and shows us our inability to even begin to understand the Holy Trinity. When you get a chance, go back and read through these passages, because I think you ought to take some time for prayer and reflection. In just a few minutes, and he's already right now, we will all participate in the blessed sacrament of baptism. The human recognition, as I mentioned earlier, our understanding of the work of God in the lives of Carson Cole Burns and his parents and family. We need to recognize and to take very seriously that this is the baptismal covenant. This is a promise that binds Carson and Audrey and Alex and Father and Son and Holy Spirit and each one of us into this sacred covenant of love and support. We are this morning committing to each other and to the Holy Trinity that we are bound together in this dance of love. Through our actions of community, we can begin to experience this amazing relationship with God's kingdom. Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know from where it comes or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, kingdom without end. Amen.